You're listening to the Tumbling Saber Podcast, a member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Check us out on the web at starwarscommonwealth.com, on iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter, and take your first step into a larger world. Welcome to episode 82 of the Tumbling Saber Podcast. My name is Kyle.
My name's Corey.
And I'm James.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you all had a happy Canada Day weekend in the Great White North, and a happy 4th of July to our American friends. Hope you stay safe, have a good time, enjoy the weather, and no fireworks accidents. Got it, people? Corey, what's going on?
Not too much. Pretty busy weekend. I'm pretty exhausted. Didn't so much take part in any of the Canada Day festivities, just due to weather and whatnot, but yesterday was pretty fun. We ended up kind of like, it was just like a spur-of-the-moment neighborhood block party. It was pretty cool. Just the middle of the afternoon, just got home, started talking, and just one thing led to another. And yeah, we were out pretty late last night. It was pretty fun.
You just yada yada yada, the best part.
That was great, man. Just all ensued from there. Barbecue and, you know, the beers were flowing. It got to the point where, like, the beers were done and people were running back in their houses and grabbing whatever was in their liquor cabinets. It was great.
What's in your liquor cabinet?
I got a bottle of Crown, bottle of vodka.
Nothing now.
No, I didn't, whatever. I was finished by the end, man.
So who's the drinker in your house? Because last time I checked, you don't go for that stuff.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, every now and again, yeah. Like, I love the Caesar, but other than that, every now and again, whatever. But yeah, my wife rarely drinks, and yesterday she partook in the festivities, so that was kind of fun.
Well, glad that panned out for you.
Yeah, yeah.
James-o, how's it going, man?
No complaints. Happy Canada Day, guys. 150.
Hey.
We're making a huge deal of it over here, but man, 150, we're still a baby as far as countries go.
Yeah, we're like the same age as Italy. I'll take that.
Is Italy that young?
Yeah, Italy's a baby too. I think they're like 3 years older than us. Someone can fact check me.
I mean, they go back much further culturally, but I guess...
Well, so do we, Kyle. So do we.
Well, yeah, I suppose. But things have been going on in Rome forever.
35,000 years here, buddy.
That's true. The First Nations people would have a lot to say right now.
They do, in fact. We could spend a lot of the show there. So we should respectfully say, proud Canadian with some small skeletons in the closet, but great weekend anyway.
That was fun. When's the next time we're going to get to see a marker like that? It's going to be 25 years from now, like the 175, you know? Will we see the 200?
Of course. I don't know. Of course. I probably will.
Why not?
91? Sure.
It's very feasible. We're all living healthier, happier lives, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like I said, just stay away from the fireworks at home and everybody will be fine.
Wonder how many fingers will be lost in the U.S. this weekend. And I say it like it's a joke, but unfortunately it's a sad reality. Like, a bunch of people are going to blow their digits off.
And some might even play for the New York Giants. Wait, it was somebody who played for the Giants. He blew his fingers right off on both hands.
Who was it who shot himself in the... It wasn't Plexico Burress. No,
yeah,
he shot himself. Was
yeah,
it?
I think Plexico Burress did it for sure.
With his own gun?
Yep.
Wasn't there someone whose name also means happiness? Like, ah, shoot. I'm not going to remember now. we'll look it up. But I think there's also like a New York Giant whose like name is like Delirium. It's not that, but.
No, I think Plaxico Burress fell upstairs, tumbled upstairs or something like that at a nightclub, and the handgun that he had tucked into the waistband of his jogging pants let go, somehow, mysteriously, imagine, let go of the gun, and it was, the safety was not on, and it shot him in the thigh.
Plexico
and if you think
burst.
That's crazy, well, you might ask yourself, well, why would the Giants give up on him after that? I think that's how it happened. I think they kind of cut ties with him after that. I think maybe he ended up in Pittsburgh after.
I think it was Pittsburgh before, but either way, what a bozo. And yeah, a bunch of people are going to blow their digits off this weekend trying to have a good time. So be careful out there.
Oh, every year I kind of look around the web to find out who did what with fireworks. And every year somebody did something stupid. Anyway,
yeah.
Into the Star Wars news we go. Forces of Destiny, Sands of Jakku dropped today. I had kind of forgotten about it, even though I talked about it less than a week ago. But then I woke up this morning and took the kids out for a walk, came back, and there it was. And so we took a little gander at that. I saw a lot of craziness going on Twitter, as you might expect, around this thing. But is anybody under the illusion that it's anything other than a cute, fun intro to Star Wars that is aimed primarily at young kids? Like, is it anything other than that? I'm sure you guys had a 3-minute peek.
Oh yeah, I had a look at it, and now after having seen this first episode, it's definitely that.
were you expecting anything different?
Maybe a bit, and in some regard, I kind of still do. Touching back on last week when we said what was happening with Ashley Eckstein and Matt Lanter. Them recording together, it seems evident now, having seen the Star Wars show this week, that it looks like they did record something together for the show, and according to Eckstein, it's quite pertinent, so that's kind of interesting. But no, again, after having seen it today, it is what it is. Like, I can't say I was expecting I was expecting a little more in that regard, but no, it's clearly aimed at children, and it was still fun, and I enjoyed it. It was cool.
I mean, it is what it is, right? What are you going to get from a 3-minute cartoon? If that. I mean, good Lord. I saw people just heaping, like, tons of praise. It's the best thing. Oh, I love it. Calm down. Cool your jets a little bit. And then on the other side, what is this? It was so stupid and blah. And just people just... not into it. Like,
I like how your haters are from the Bronx or something.
Or the Muppets.
But no, it's a like, New York come Muppet. On, guys. Jesus. It's a little 3-minute ditty about characters that we all love, and it's just...
Jack and Diane.
Ah. Good. Well, it's pretty fitting for the 4th of July. Little Mellencamp.
Oh, nice.
It still had a nice little lesson to teach, though, too, you know? It gives a little bit of insight into Rey's character, even though it was very short and very...
Oh, yeah, like, we could spend, you know, 5-10 minutes breaking down the episode. I bet you we could do it. I really bet you we could do it, but, you know, I don't want to. I mean, there's a couple of neat things to take away from it. Like you said, it's the little lesson of kindness about Rey. It reminded me of R2 getting eaten by that swamp monster in Empire.
Yeah. Gives us a little insight into that that monster. We actually see it in The Force Awakens, and yeah, I definitely was not expecting that.
I don't think J.J. Abrams was either, if he saw that.
Yeah, you're right, eh? That makes sense.
Hey, let's pile on. Since it harkens back to that Empire scene, let's just call it a lazy rehash. That's the thing to do in Star Wars now.
It's almost Dianoga-esque, too, in a way.
You know, calling it a lazy rehash is sort of like a lazy rehash in and of itself.
Indeed it is. Yeah, I mean, what else can you say about it, right? There's not much else to say. But I'm looking forward to it. I know that the kids liked it, and that's who it's for. So let's just learn to live with it. And if you don't like it, just don't watch it. It's pretty simple.
True. I like the relate. Right. I have to say, I also liked Rey's, I don't know, they almost make a point of that staff that she has. Like, it, I don't know, like we see her now wielding the lightsaber, but that staff, it always seems to kind of come back in a way, you know? And she's good with it too.
Absolutely. Well, what did you think of the animation style? I mean, it's very rudimentary, right? But what did you think?
Yeah, not my bag, but it was interesting. And again, like directed toward children, toward a bit of a simpler mind and simpler stories that convey a message. It was interesting though. It was almost comic book-esque.
I suppose you could say that. I mean, South Park isn't my bag either, but hell if I didn't watch that show for years and years.
Yeah, but that was just different because it's just different.
You don't say. Forces of Destiny and South Park, they're different.
No, well, what, even if I could just like look at the animation in South Park and laugh, like it's too good.
Yeah, anyway, I thought it was fun. I think I dug the look of it. I mean, nobody's going to say it's going to win any awards, but yeah, it just looked nice and simple and clean. I dig it. And I'll be back whenever it's, I guess next week it's back.
I think
maybe
so,
maybe we'll spin out a podcast just about that.
I think on July 9th it's airing. There's going to be it's going to be air on TV.
Yeah, that episode will be July 9th, you're right. But that's like a between shows type thing. Takes the place of a couple ads.
Nothing can take the place of ads.
Oh, there my you go. Goodness. You're on your game.
I want to point out that since you said we could probably spend 5 minutes on this but don't want to, I think that was 5 minutes ago.
Probably. Yeah, that's just what we do. So, okay, this is a peek into the minds of us here at Tumbling Saber. So there was an auction held recently in California where the R2-D2, like it's a mishmash of R2 parts from the original trilogy, but the damn thing sold for $2.76 million at auction.
That's because some people have too much money.
Man, oh man, do they ever, including some people in NHL free agency who scored really big, but that's another story for another podcast.
You know, actually, he doesn't score really big. He just stops people from scoring really big.
Actually, you're right, James, but did you see the money being thrown around in the NBA?
Ridiculous. Stupid.
I couldn't believe it. Curry getting $40 million a year?
That's LeBron money.
Wow.
$40 million a year. Holy God. And Kevin Durant just got signed a deal today. I think for $25 million or $23 million a year. And everybody's praising him because he left money on the table, air quotes. Anyway.
Well, he did. He had to have. There's no way they could afford all these guys.
Crazy, crazy money. Holy smokes. Anyway, so this auction also had Luke Saber from A New Hope and Empire, which sold for $450,000. And Vader's helmet from A New Hope, which sold for $96,000. So my question to you guys, what would you prefer to have if money was no object?
That $96,000 helmet was the best deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Like, that's the best value for money. And I can't believe Vader's helmet went that low. Unless, and there was no mention to this in the write-up that I read, but maybe it's in terrible shape.
And like, what's the actual prop like from the movie, right?
Oh yeah, these were used in the movie. These are game worn Star Wars props, but maybe the Vader mask is just in awful condition.
Yeah, well, maybe the plastic went like turned blue or something.
Yeah, and if it's made of fiberglass, maybe like some of the exterior shell is kind of chipped away, and you just see actual fibers underneath. Who knows? Corey, what would you take?
This is a really, really hard choice because all three are super iconic. The hilt.
There's no TIE fighters. No TIE fighter props.
Can you explain what you mean by iconic, Corey?
Yeah, you know, just easily recognizable. But I don't know. I'm looking at it like you guys just said, like Vader's mask. Like that is the value bet here, just for the bang for your buck. Like, I can't believe how much R2 went for. But when you kind of look at it like that, like, you're actually getting the entire character, right? Like, you're Vader, you're getting a part, the mask, which is super cool, and it is Vader, and again, it was in the movie, but you're missing the suit and the person behind it. But, like, if you're getting R2, it's actually R2. Like, you're getting the whole kit and caboodle, you know? And it is a nice showpiece.
You're not getting... Yeah, I do hear what you're saying.
Like, he's there, you know? You're not getting Kenny Baker inside him, but...
No, you're not getting his bleeps and bloops, which are the most iconic sounds in Star Wars, but you are getting the rest.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you're just getting the character itself, so I think I'm going to go with R2 just for that sole reason. Like, I love Astromech, and he would look great probably in any man cave. It's a tough toss-up between that and the Vader helmet. The hilt, again, super cool, depending on which fight it was in. But R2, again, just... It's bigger, it's a nice showpiece, and it's R2.
See, now, for $2.76 million, and I said, I know I said money is no object, but if it came with Jimmy V, and he was in there, now I'm paying $3 million.
You could slap a tray on his head. Jimmy V.
Now, why don't you, Jimmy, roll over there and grab me a beer, will you? That's the way I roll.
No, that's the way he would roll.
You're damn right it is. Okay, so how about a Star Wars San Diego Comic-Con update? So the SDCC blog let us in on the secret that, not so much a secret, but there's going to be no Star Wars panels at San Diego Comic-Con. So we're not going to see anything about the Han Solo movie and nothing about The Last Jedi.
And it's almost like behind the scenes, everything is in shambles.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a fair bit of chaos.
I can't believe that they don't have a panel. That's shocking to me that they couldn't or didn't want to, chose not to put something together. Like,
I'm still going to have a big presence there. Like, they still have a big booth on the convention floor, and they still have all kinds of stuff about toys and comics and all that other stuff.
Have two movies, basically in the can. Like,
well, they're saving that for D23, which is the week before.
Like, they have their thing.
That's too. Their convention. That's their thing. They want to. Why give the press to SDCC when they can keep it for themselves? I guess that's kind of the way they're thinking about it.
Maybe spin off some of this bad press that then this last hubbubaloo.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen. So, I mean, this is a couple weeks out, less than that now, really.
Yeah, what's
D23? It sounds like we're going to get which what end of when is that?
It's, I think it's like mid to end, closer to the end of July. I think
July's no, it's 20. D23 is the 14th to 16th of July.
Ooh, wow, so that's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's a couple weeks away. So I think the report is that we're going to get a sizzle reel, a behind-the-scenes sizzle reel for The Last Jedi. And we had talked about last week that, ooh, looks like they're going to put out, they're scrambling to put out a new trailer. But I actually think the sizzle reels are cooler than trailers. They're super cool.
Rogue One was really, really nice. That got me really, started to get me pumped for that movie.
Yeah, and they give us as much to talk about, while not really revealing much about the movie. So I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. And I think that's what's going on. I mean, yeah, I think there's some chaos, but I think it's almost like a football game, American football game, July 4th, where it's all controlled chaos. You know what I mean? Like they've know things are sort of chaotic right now, but they've got a bit of a handle on it. So we're going to get some content in a couple weeks. It's going to be great. At least they'll tell us it's great. We'll tell each other it's great. And all the bad vibes will blow away.
Yeah. Okay, in the long run, they didn't jump on that a little sooner.
You mean getting out the content sooner?
Yeah, getting rid of that bad vibe. They don't want a bad vibe. And there is one hanging. There's a shadow hanging right now.
I guess they figure, you know, it's 2 weeks, man. They got to be patient.
Well, I wonder if part of it was, you know, let's just ride this out for a couple weeks. You know, it's summertime. People are paying less attention. It's, you know, vacation time. There's people just they're not as engaged as they are if it was fall or early spring or something like that. So I think they just ride it out. And of course, like, the other things in news always pop up, not necessarily Star Wars news, but people are easily distracted these days. And then in mid-July, boom, we'll drop the sizzle reel and we'll start ramping up The Last Jedi, which by all accounts went super harmoniously. We didn't hear a peep about any acrimony on that set. So I imagine we'll start hearing how wonderful this movie is and how everything was just hunky-dory. But in the meantime, this is funny. Another making of book has been canceled. So the Force Awakens making of book was canned. Who knows if we'll ever see that, and which is a shame because there's such great books. The ones that J.W. Rinsler has been doing, so good. And I don't know if he was doing the Rogue One book. I don't think he was, but that has just been canceled too.
Really?
And so I'm thinking we might get a making of The Last Jedi. I see no reason why not, but we're definitely not going to get one for Han Solo. I think we can put that to bed right now.
Yeah, it makes sense. Too complicated at this point.
Well, I mean, nobody's going to put out an authorized version of what's going on behind the scenes of all these movies. That's never going to happen.
Okay, quickly touching back on D23, I wanted to ask you guys, like, now, to me, it's clear, like you said, Kyle, that...
No, we're not doing a Commonwealth get-together.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it's clear that they're not really, don't have anything big planned for SDCC because they want to save the publicity for themselves at D23. So what do you think the chances, like, I'm going to give you a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most likely. What do you think the chances are of the announcement of the next solo project being D23? Like, are you like 10 for 10 on that, or?
Oh boy. I 2 weeks ago, I would have been a 10. Because they told us, Kathleen Kennedy said, I think at Celebration, that we're going to decide in June about the next standalone. And then, of course, people ran with that and saying, oh, they're going to tell us in June. But they just said they were going to decide. Decide and announcing are two different things. But I wonder if what's going on here with Han Solo has made them rethink their plans. I tend to think they'll stay the course. So I'm gonna go a strong 8.5 that they will tell us what's coming next at D23.
What do you think, James?
Yeah, I agree.
What do you got? Okay, on the same kind of scale, what do you think the chances of Lucasfilm, to really, because of everything that's happened recently, this could work in their favor, but again, they might want to walk that straight and narrow now. But what are the chances that they come out of left field with something really surprising everybody? Like, just takes everybody by surprise. Like, whoa, I can't believe they just announced that as opposed to what we were expecting.
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by, are we all unanimous that we all think it's going to be Obi-Wan?
I would think so at this point, yeah. Me, anyhow, I think that's where I thought it was going to be going. That's where I want to see it going, hopefully. Be nice.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I mean, see, the only vain reason why I don't want Obi-Wan to come next is because I want my theory to work, that Obi-Wan would be the bookend to the Western, air quotes, trilogy of, what was the first one? Oh, yeah, Han Solo was obviously the first, then a bounty hunter flick in the middle, and then bookended with Obi-Wan at the end.
Well, they canceled the bounty hunter flick, though.
They canceled it in 2014 or whatever it was, 2015, but I think they're still going to do it. Just things got blown up, so they just moved on to something else. But I would still be shocked if they didn't eventually do it. So maybe it's resurrected.
I said, I'd be surprised if they came out of left field with something like, we're doing, it's like, I don't think it's going to be an Ahsoka film or whatever, but something like that, like somebody just like, whoa, we're not expecting that.
No, well, look, Lucasfilm is in safe mode these days, right?
Exactly. But maybe they want to change people's opinions in regard to that and say like, hey, they keep their ear to the ground, and a lot of people have been saying the same thing in that regard, that, oh, they're just going to stand at attention now and do things really straight edge and not going to take any risks. And
that's a very valid position, I think. I don't know if I expect them to do anything super bold in the aftermath of all that's gone on.
So you're what, like, say, like, 3-on-10?
That it'll be unexpected?
Yeah.
Like, oh, so I mean, what if it is the Bounty Hunter movie? Is that considered unexpected?
Yeah, a little, but it's a bit of low-hanging fruit, like you like to say, but...
I mean, that's, to me, that's like a 5-on-10. That's a fence-sitting one.
Okay, let's say it's neither Obi-Wan or the Bounty Hunter film. It's something completely different that none of us saw coming.
2-on-10.
Yeah, I agree. 2 or 1. Yeah, it's not going to be. They're not going to announce an Ahsoka flick. They're not going to announce a Jedi Temple Origins flick. They're not going to give us something that we had no idea. Do you think that, Corey?
No, not really. I'm kind of on the same page as you. 2, 3-on-10. I'm almost. It would be nice. It would be one of those things where it'd be like, oh wow, they actually did it. You know.
Well, yeah, I think I would applaud if they, I mean, depending on what they announce, but I would give them a fist bump for sure for going out there and being bold. But I can't imagine what they would do that would make us stand up and cheer that way.
The Hondo Onaka saga.
As much as we think that's hilarious now, if Kathleen Kennedy stood up there and said, "We're doing Hondo," I think a lot of us would go, "What?
Oh my God, yeah, for sure.
Really? You're skipping Obi-Wan to do Hondo? Okay, I guess. I mean, is this the movie you're going to let the Lord and Miller do? Can you let this one be a little bit slapstick?"
That could be a full-bore comedy. That could be full-fledged comedy.
It's like Pirates of the Caribbean in space.
Like that,
Johnny
that
Depp could be cast.
I should tweet that right now. A mea culpa to Lord and Miller. Let them do like a Hondo slapstick in space. That should happen.
Or someone finds him floating in carbonite in space, like we had talked about.
Yeah, that would be too funny. Yeah, but no, I think they're gonna stay on the straight and narrow for now. Nothing too unexpected. Actually,
let's write the Hondo Onaka script and pitch it.
Yes, let's, Corey.
Yeah, let's do that. Now, let's add another idea to the hopper.
We'll put it in the show notes. We'll write it chapter by chapter in the show notes.
Yeah,
we already
got
the beginning.
No
the
problem.
Genesis,
no problem.
Carbonite. Let's go from there.
And we'll follow your lead, Corey.
I'm gonna brainstorm and spit.
Nah, here we go. And how are you doing with your podcast producing skills? Now that we're into July, we're halfway through the year, right? So you should be like halfway studied up.
I can produce a show. I just wouldn't be able to edit it and cobble it all together.
Well, that's what producing a podcast is.
Really?
Wouldn't that be like? Yes, it's producing it, like where you take nothing and produce a podcast.
That's yeah. I'm not talking about putting together the show notes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No. You're so lazy. Jesus Christ.
Hey, man, I'm busy.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm busy. Give me a break.
Busy with a Z.
You're so full of shit. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Feel you, man.
So okay, I'm gonna jump ahead here for a minute. So since we're talking about the Boba Fett movie, recently Daniel Logan was fitted, I think by the Mandalorian mercs, in an adult size, legit, good to go Boba Fett costume. So let's say when they bring Boba Fett back to the big screen, should Daniel Logan, and we all know him as sort of the young Boba Fett. Should he be the guy to wear the suit now?
I kind of like it. I'd like to keep it in the family and keep it continuity-wise up to date like that. But the question it kind of begs to me is, it's really Disney's call or Lucasfilm's call.
Oh, yes.
Either way, it's their call to decide if he's up to the challenge or not. Like, I kind of went ahead and went on IMDb just to kind of look at his acting credits. And, I mean, he did Sharknado 3 or something. So my main question is, can he act? Like, I wasn't a big fan of his performance in the prequels, but granted, he's actually not that young. He's only about 5 years younger than me, so looking back on those films, he looked quite young for his age in them, but...
I think he looked 12? 12-ish when they shot that? Maybe 13?
Yeah. By the way, Boba Fett doesn't really speak that much anyway. It's a lot of, like, mannerisms, which could be learned. So, you know, if he's actually still, again, relatively young, so if he has been taking, like, acting lessons and stuff like that. Like, a good example of that is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Like, I hated that kid with a passion when I was a kid. He was on Third Rock from the Sun, and I thought he was the worst actor ever. And then he disappeared for, like, almost close to 10 years or, like, 5-10 years. And when he came back, I was like, dude, like, he nailed it. Like, he's one of my favorite actors in Hollywood now, you know?
He didn't really disappear. He just cut his hair.
Well, no, there was a time period there where he was gone for quite a few years, and then he came back with that romance story, like, what was it? Something summer, anyhow. After that, his career kind of took off again, but he does a lot of, like, he's bold in his career choices, and anyhow, whatever. I like what he does.
He's talented, too.
Yeah, big time.
No, he's fantastic. Everything he does is good. And I think, well, he was in Looper, so Rian Johnson could definitely vouch for him as a Star Wars guy. James, how do you feel? So we'll add to this. So we have Daniel Logan in the suit, or we could have him in the suit. But if Boba Fett's the lead, do you need to insulate him with bigger names?
Put that way, you make me think maybe yes, but overall, I don't, like, I'm not really invested in who's in the suit at this point. Like, they could spring a new face on me and I would be fine with that. Like, I think once they cast somebody, though, who, you know, whoever that is will become, for a whole bunch of people, will become the character, and then it'll be no question. So, but for me right now, it's like I just see blank face when I think of what adult Boba Fett should look like for these movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel.
Like, think about it this way: like, Star Wars is good at giving people their shots, like Daisy Ridley, John Boyega. Like, granted, they were actors prior. Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, all kind of unknown names, right? So it's kind of almost like a thing in Star Wars to do that. And then people afterward, like people who aren't as into Star Wars as us, can, you know, when you tell them, like, oh, this is the kid that played him 20 years ago, they're like, oh, really? Wow, that's kind of cool too, you know? Once they find out, because once he is, if he's ever cast in the role, then the character, the actor himself,
I don't disagree. Under the spotlight. It's cool. Yeah, I totally agree. I think it, like, if they can do it and it works out, I'm just saying, it wouldn't bother me if they didn't do that. Like, I could totally buy into a fresh face.
Yeah, me too. It, again, I almost don't see it happening. Like, the fitting, I can't say as to why he's been fitted for this costume, but they'd really have to have a lot of faith in him to take on that with the acting chops, really. And in my opinion at the moment, I don't know if he's got it where it counts, really.
Nice callback there.
Yeah.
That is the big question. I don't know this guy's body of work outside of his voice acting for Boba Fett in Clone Wars and his role in Attack of the Clones. I know nothing about him.
Sharknado.
I must have missed that one. What are we up to? Number 5 is coming now?
Oof. Who knows?
Anyway, so... Well, that kind of continuity is important to me, and I think it is for a lot of Star Wars fans, so I think a lot of people would just say, yeah, put him in there, but when you really stop to think about it, obviously he does have to be able to act if it, and especially if it's a Boba Fett movie. I think if it's a Boba Fett movie, his chances are greatly diminished, despite what you said, Corey, which is true. Like, Star Wars can be a launching pad for unknowns. But if it's a bounty hunter movie and you get like the whole crew in there, then I think his chances of being in the suit go way up. Because then you can do, like I said before, and insulate him with bigger names.
But still, he's going to be one of the focal points of that bounty hunter movie, no matter what it is, you know?
And, well, unless they do something bigger with that bounty hunter franchise. Like the first one, they just intro a whole bunch of characters. And yes, he's going to be a key part of it. And depending on how he does, then, okay, fine. Here's the next bounty hunter movie. And it could be focused on Boba Fett, or he just could simply have a bigger role. But if Daniel Logan nails it, then... yeah, I mean, it nails it sort of like in the first bounty hunter movie when it's like an ensemble and he stands apart and knows that he can or shows that he can hold his own. Then I guess, you know, you're good to go.
Just keep the helmet on as much as possible.
Why is that?
Well, I'm just saying if he's not if, you know, he can't handle the role. Like, plus, I really don't see Boba Fett. Like, if in a Boba Fett movie, I don't think it's... he's probably going to have the helmet on more than he would off, I would think. Like, when he takes it off, it's going to be like a reveal almost, you know?
Yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, in the Clone Wars, he did speak quite a bit. He spoke way, way, way more than he did in the movies.
Yeah, I'm actually reading Dark Disciple right now. I'm still quite at the beginning there, like maybe 6 chapters in. And he's in it. Anyway, he's made his appearance in this so far, and he likes to talk still, so it's interesting how people are going to play, how the characters in the comics and books are going to affect, like, his character overall now, I guess.
Yep. Anyway, I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. We can drop that where it is. What else we got here? So, Adam Driver made some comments to Huffington Post. He was asked, I love this part. So the question to put to Adam Driver was, "You've said you think episode 8 is remarkable. What do you think fans can expect?" And my favorite part about this is his first sentence. "I said what Ryan had written was remarkable." I love that he shut down what I can only assume is either a lazy interviewer, or made an honest mistake, or was trying to manufacture some additional hype. But I love that Adam Driver corrected him immediately and said, "No, I said what Ryan had written was remarkable, not that episode 8 is remarkable." Perfect. So continuing on, he said, he created new rules for the Star Wars universe and balanced the familiar and unfamiliar very adeptly while respecting that his audience can handle ambiguity, which you can see in his previous films. Characters and story are his priority. So, James, what are you taking away from that?
I think that he must be saying that tongue-in-cheek if he really thinks that his Star Wars fans can handle ambiguity.
Yeah, it's true. It depends. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I don't like the sound of new rules for my Star Wars universe, but it's not fair for me to like imagine what I want to imagine as like my scary thought of what I'm worried about and then pin it on Rian Johnson for something that was said in an interview about him. So I'll keep my little panic to myself and I'll just say it's interesting that he's using so many words that aren't the safe words that you might expect him to say in these faraway interviews.
Yeah. And we're so far out that it's, I mean, without us having seen too much about The Last Jedi, we have nothing to go on. We have nothing to anchor our feelings to. So when he says words like familiar and unfamiliar and ambiguity, all we can really do is just draw on our emotions and think back to the other movies. Like, Empire was full of ambiguity. And I kind of wish I was around in 1980, because from what I've heard, like, Empire at first wasn't super well received. like people just weren't ready for the turn that the franchise took. And it was like filled with question marks about Han and Lando. What's up with these two and Luke and Vader and the Force as a whole? It had a whole lot of ambiguity to it, especially the ending. So here we are, and you know, waiting on part two of the next trilogy. And there's that word again. Corey, what do you think?
I definitely think it definitely kind of looks to me like we're headed for a change or a revelation. Granted, that does scare me a bit too, like James, depending on how they do it and how they handle it. Now, it looks like from what he's saying that everything's really well written and it's going to make sense to us in the long run, which is one of the things I'm looking forward to. You know, like I want to see how everything's going to evolve and how the past can possibly affect the present. But it just depends how far they want to take it outside the box. Like the concepts that we are familiar with, like how far are they going to be stretched? And that's kind of my concern a bit as well. Like James, like I don't want it to be like totally radicalized, you know, but either way, I've expected this movie from the onset to kind of drop a bomb on us. Just mirroring Empire and all that with the I'm your father moment. But something big is going to happen in this. The ambiguity part, I'm like James, and you know, people are probably going to be arguing for the next 2 years after this movie drops.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like people argued after Vader said he was Luke's dad, people argued. I don't know how they argued with no Twitter. How did that happen? But yeah, people discussed back and forth until Yoda told us the truth. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's kind of a generic statement to say that, you know, character and story are the priority. Great. I mean, I think every writer, director probably would say the same thing about his story. So for Adam Driver to say that, okay, I kind of throw that away. But I definitely think we're going to get a ton of unanswered questions. I think that The Last Jedi is definitely going to ask us more questions and give us fewer answers than we might expect or hope for.
The one thing that gives me hope about all this change, anyhow, is that when you look at it from the point of view of Star Wars and being in that galaxy, if you will, that Luke's gone back to the first Jedi Temple, right? So the knowledge that he's going to be acquiring is ancient. It's not like, it's going to be new to us, but it's old to the Jedi, which is kind of cool. I like that factor.
That's a way that it sort of says to us, you have to accept this because the Jedi accepted this for generations.
Yeah, it's the ultimate like kind of truth.
Yeah, it's not like Luke is coming up with a new rule on the spot and says, going, all right, from now on, this is the way we're going to do it. And we can all go, Luke, that's so stupid. This is like a rule that's already in existence that is, or whatever he's going to tell us.
He's still like following Jedi doctrine, but it's his perspective of the Force has changed as a result.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's this whole thing. Maybe I don't know if it feels like a first date or a blind date, where it's exciting and you hope it goes really well, but it could also go really, really badly. Are there any other analogies we can draw? You can say no.
What, you mean like
no
in the mirroring sense, or
never mind. Okay, who wants to talk about some video games before we get into the listener questions? So this Visceral game, this studio called Visceral, they've got a... This is also... I'll give a stick tap to MSW for running this synopsis out there. So Visceral has a Star Wars game in the works, and right now it's labeled as Project Ragtag. And the synopsis is that it follows a main character called Dodger, who's an Alderaanian survivor who gets drafted into Imperial service and then goes on the run after Alderaan's destruction. And who among us wouldn't defect after somebody blew up your home planet? So as we saw in the Leia miniseries from Marvel, anybody from Alderaan, I think what had happened is that Alderaan was sort of outed by the Empire as rebel sympathizers. So any Alderaanian was put on this blacklist to be hunted and killed or brought to trial or whatever. So Dodger, which is not his real name, he's Dodger because he skipped out. He takes off and goes and hides in the Outer Rim and takes on some work from none other than Jabba. And his goal is to earn enough money working for Jabba that he can just buy his way off the list. And so a couple of Dodger's weapons is a light whip and a blaster. So you guys still on board?
Yeah,
I like him.
Sounds pretty cool, right? Like, we haven't really seen a character like this. I like
the name Dodger and how he dodged he dodged a bullet or whatever. It makes me think what Bridger is going to what Ezra's going to bridge eventually. But yeah, no, I'm into the character so far.
All right, so like I said, he's going to use the money to clear his name, and the Empire meanwhile is using sort of the remnants of Alderaan. So where Alderaan used to be is now sort of this cloud of vapor or gas or something, and the Empire is weaponizing it with the help of some criminal organization. And when it's all ready to go, I don't know if it comes in a liquid form or bomb form or however it's used, but it basically kills all the people but leaves all the structure standing. So it's almost like a dirty bomb. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but it ends up being part of the Tarkin Initiative, which is another callback to, I guess it's a pretty deep cut, I suppose, for people who don't read the novels. But Tarkin's Initiative was just a bunch of projects that were going on, I think. And hopefully, I'm just thinking out loud here, I hope this means that Tarkin is going to have some kind of role in this game. Like, I'm thinking that, you know, if I put all that money into the Tarkin Rogue One model, that maybe they should use it in this game. I think that'd be pretty damn cool.
For sure.
So Dodger sees the weapon used on somebody close to him, and he has to decide at that point whether he wants to keep running from the Empire or fight them. And although he blamed the rebellion for what happened to Alderaan, he now finds himself on their side. So I don't know if he's actually part of the rebellion or keeps him at arm's length. But he seems to be now, of course, now the enemy. How is that saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there you go. And again, so the crappy side of this weapon that the Empire is making is that you're taking the remains of a peaceful planet like Alderaan and using it for mass murder. So, I mean, that's going to be like part of the thrust of the game that it's really going to help us as players really keep that hate stoked for the Empire. So, I mean, that's kind of the gist of the game. You go over to MSW and you can read it. I think they have two or three really good pieces on it. So this is just really the Coles Notes version. Corey, what do you think? Are you down, or are you just, is this say, I'll watch the cutscenes?
That's what I was going to say. Like, I don't have a PS4, so I would definitely get Battlefront before this. This does seem very interesting. I like the storyline that they kind of laid out. It's going to be canon, which is kind of cool. And I'm really just hoping that within a couple days of its being released, that we get to watch someone cobbles together the bits and parts to kind of make the movie that it is. So we can just have a look at that. But I'm definitely interested. It seems like a cool character. We got some good, like a good backstory, so there's enough going on there in that regard. So,
and like, who knows how many ways it might tie into the larger canon? Like, I've been banging the drum for a long time. Like, let's get out of this Civil War period, please. And then here we go. We've got another game. Like this, this is gonna be a big deal when it actually starts getting into the marketing cycle. They're gonna really push this. But here it is, set in that same period again. That we're kind of, at least I'll speak for myself, but getting a little bit tired of. But yet I read the synopsis and go, oh yeah, I'm totally down. Maybe that's the Homer in me, but it sounds familiar, but at the same time, with enough fresh faces and characters and a plot point that we've never seen before, with regards to, like, maybe it's this thing that the Empire is building is a bit of a biological weapon. And I think when we were discussing or breaking down The Force Awakens, I think one of the things we talked about was, what else can, like, if you're a galactic sized army, and you know, you always have your weapon of mass destruction, and in Star Wars it makes sense for it to be like a planet killer, but that we're fed up of that. So what else can they do? And so we discussed the idea of like a biological weapon in Star Wars. Maybe this is the entry point for that. And this is our first glimpse at something down that vein. So I think that's pretty cool. So I'm stoked for this game. Absolutely. I couldn't tell you when it comes out. I think it comes out next year, but don't quote me on that. Okay, that is it for Star Wars news. A little bit soft this week on Star Wars news, but hopefully things start to heat up pretty soon. So now we'll take a quick break, and the next voice you'll hear is that of the great Ads, the first Knight of the Commonwealth. So hear that, and then we'll be back to answer his questions and a couple others.
Evening, chaps. I should start by wishing the three of you a very happy Canada's Day, 150 by the looks of it on Twitter. So hope you are all having a really good one. I understand there may be some kind of sporting element to the day as well. So I hope that goes well for your hockey team. So I've never been to Canada. I'd love to come over sometime. It's certainly on the bucket list. But to honour your great country, the question this week relates to Canada. So perhaps you could put yourself in the shoes of a Star Wars director. Whereabouts in Canada would you choose to shoot? Sort of like a podcast scenic tour of the country. Okay, short and sweet this week, so have a good show. I'll look forward to listening, not least to the other listener questions, Bradley, Carlos, etc. And I will see you all next week. Take care. Bye.
So Ads, thank you for this awesome question and for the well wishes on our young country's birthday. As far as our hockey team, well, they again, that's another story for another day, but lukewarm. Lukewarm, I think, is the tone there. And guys, Ads hinted at coming to Canada as a bucket list thing. So are we going to have to like have a little battle royale to see who gets to have Ads crash in the guest room?
Back off. Back off, Kyle. Seriously, I'm not even joking. Oh. I ain't playing.
It's clear he's going to come out to the guy who's got three extra bedrooms unused in the basement.
Jimmy, don't
start. Its own bathroom.
Jimmy.
I'm just saying, full bathroom, separate entrance, 2 acres. You're welcome, Ads. See you soon.
But he might want to have the closest access to the train that takes him right into the exciting heart of downtown Montreal.
No, I don't have that. I'm not next to the best smoked meat on the planet either. I'm close to it.
I am extremely close to both of those things. So, Ads, buddy, I'm sitting right next to it, man. The Tumbling Saber Studios will be your guest room.
I have to say, Ads, my wife was a flight attendant for a couple of years, and I did get to do a little bit of buddy pass traveling. And our home in native land is a really cool place to visit. It's big and there's a lot to see, so you couldn't even cover it all in one trip anyway. But if you focused in on sort of some of the best parts that we would suggest, you would not be disappointed.
And he probably wouldn't see any of us.
No, it would be hard to.
It would be really hard to, absolutely. So the question from Ads is, where in our home and native land would you suggest Lucasfilm shoot one of its films? So let's round table this. I'll throw it to you first, Corey. What's your suggestion? Aside from suggesting to Lucasfilm that they shoot it somewhere about 30 to 40 minutes west of Montreal. Let's skip that one. That's the easy one. Now, what else you got?
I like that answer, though. I didn't even think of that. God damn it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kyle.
I think we might be on the same vein. we have a beautiful country. James just said it. It stretches coast to coast, and there's lots of different kind of climates, lots of different kind of zones. But I think those that lend themselves the most to a Star Wars film would... The highest on my list, the low-hanging fruit, but it's got to be the highest on all of our list, I would think, is British Columbia, BC. It's a subtropical climate. They have rainforests. They have very high mountains. It's coastal. It's kind of got a bit of everything. It's just a complete gem of a piece of nature, which would really lend itself well to cinematography and whatnot. So I kind of had to go in that vein.
On my list, but not at the top.
Well, did you know it narrowed down any further from that? Because if I'm not mistaken, I think parts of Endor were filmed in BC. If I'm not mistaken.
Really?
I could be wrong, but I believe they did shoot some stuff in amidst like the giant trees.
It's possible. Yeah, that's it. There's like trees that are just astronomical. When you look at them, it's like, wow, man. I've seen pictures and it's like, God. It's so hard to believe sometimes when you see, like, when you get the perspective on it, you know? And it's, I love that kind of stuff.
Okay, so, James, what's on your list?
Well, my list has a few things. Certainly, coastal British Columbia is up there for, you know, the Okanagan Valley, too, I think. It depends what kind of
Kelowna.
Scenes they're trying to shoot, right? We have mountains, we have ocean, we have... tundra and Arctic, and we sort of have it all. But I've narrowed it down. Here's my answer, Ads, and I hope you like this. What is Sudbury? And the reason I picked Sudbury, Ontario
I've got
is,
to hear this.
Yeah, me too.
Rob Cass can explain this
it's,
to us.
Maybe it's second most famously known for appearing like the modern moon landscape. They say that you can't really tell the difference in some scenic shots between the moon and Sudbury, Ontario. And I just think that kind of barrenness is difficult to find in civilization. So I think they could shoot some really cool stuff there. And I say second, famous secondly only to the fact that it's the hometown of Alex Trebek. And notice I phrased my answer in the form of a question.
Oh, God bless Alex Trebek. You know how much money that dude makes for such a short window of work? It's crazy. Good for him. It's crazy. I was blown away by his salary and the short window of the year that he has to work. Other than that, it's gravy. Here's one that's really easy. Anybody who visits Canada, I think, is looking at Banff National Park. And I'll be damned if that wouldn't be a really great stand-in for Alderaan.
Yeah, it's spectacular. I've been there live and in person, and it's just spectacular.
Like, shamefully, I've not seen nearly enough of this country. Nearly enough.
The Glacier Lakes actually look fake. They look like something out of a Star Wars movie, that emerald color that they have.
Yeah, everything in that region is just out of this world. It's so amazing. Corey, what else you got?
Kind of just went coast to coast, really. Like, I looked at everything in between, and, you know, our province, we got a lot to offer, Ontario as well. After that, it's almost like the prairies are just very desolate, so we have lots of different landscapes to offer, but I think one that would lend itself well
Be like, is that Corey got to the show notes really late and didn't do his homework.
No, that's not true. I said BC first, and my second choice would be a maritime, because it's a different, like, maritime out east. It's a very different vibe from out west. Even though BC is, like, coastal as well, it's very different, as in it's, like, mountainous and subtropical. It's coastal, but...
Ah,
like,
yes.
The maritimes, it really is reminiscent almost of Skellig Island, very Act Two-esque. It's old.
Let's narrow it down for Ads, because I think what the word you're looking for is...
He's talking about Newfoundland.
Well, there's that, but I think you could just go right to the touristy area of Cape Breton.
Yeah.
Very Act Two.
There you go.
Beautiful. Spectacular. and mountainous.
Somehow that's going to be part of the episode title. Mountainous.
I knew it. That's why I celebrated when he said it. I knew he'd name the episode.
It never fails. Do you think we could go to UConn to film the Northern Lights and work that in to Star Wars?
Work it into like an altered sky? Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, I feel like you could shoot like scenes on Dathomir up in UConn when it's nighttime and the Northern Lights come out.
Even Dagobah, I feel like Dagobah would have some sort of like weird sky stuff going on.
Yeah, it'd be cool, eh, that like even us, like as a planet, whatever, we get it when there's some solar storms, but imagine that there were planets out there where it was occurring at a much higher and more frequent, like it was just happening a lot more frequently and abundantly, kind of like almost all the time, like a constant Borealis.
Yeah, that would be stunning. I've got a couple others here. I'll run through them quickly. There's a place in BC called the Spotted Lake. And in the summertime, the body of water kind of dries down into these pools of magnesium. And it just looks out of this world. It's so cool. And that could easily be enhanced, you know, via CG or with additional props and set decoration to just be something amazing in a Star Wars movie.
Don't you think Niagara Falls would make a really, really cool spot for a hidden base?
Can you imagine the logistics of trying to set up shooting there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would never happen.
But it would be so cool to see a really big craft come out from under those falls.
It would be. Would it ever? Almost like the Batmobile is shot out of the waterfall a few times. Now just Star Wars that, right?
Times Star Wars.
Hey, did you? I was doing some homework on this, and there's a place in the Baffin Islands called Mount Thor, which would make a cool place. It's you know, it would probably edge maybe too close to Hoth in that it's all snow and ice up there, but it's mostly ice and icebergs and just these amazing vistas of like these sheer ice walls. So amazing. They could totally do something with that and have it be different enough from Hoth. But we also have a place in the Baffin Islands called the Asgard. Are you kidding me? We have the Mount Thor and the Asgard in the Baffin Islands. Like, Google the images of that place. It's crazy.
That's pretty cool. I was going to say the same thing, though. Like, any part of Canada in the dead of winter is very reminiscent of Hoth.
Yeah, I mean, our backyards could be Hoth.
Yep. Filmed from the right angle, they could be.
And then lastly, a little closer to home, but the Thousand Islands area. If they ever wanted to go back to Takodana, that would be a nice place to do it in.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So adds there and everybody else, there's a little tour of our country. And no doubt there are a lot more hidden gems that we have no idea about. But that's a quick overview.
Oh, we didn't name nearly enough, and Kyle's just pointed out that the Vikings definitely were the first explorers here, eh, Kyle? But based on those names?
Yeah, they were here. It's sort of like one of those dirty little secrets that everybody, you know, we're still going with, like Christopher Columbus and all these guys in the, I guess, medieval times who were the first people here. But the Vikings, there's more than enough evidence to suggest the Vikings were here hundreds of years before.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
When does that make its way?
Mount Asgard.
James, as the duly noted representative of the educational system here, when does that make its way into a textbook?
It's in a grade 8 textbook in Quebec.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Now, do they drill
it's not
down on that?
Deeply at okay, all. No. It's like it's glossed over.
Like the Vikings were here, but we don't know anything, so we can't tell you.
Yeah, they may mention the word artifact because it's relevant to like what they're teaching.
But that's kind of disappointing.
There's nothing. Well, we're still learning a lot too. But anyway, all to say, we definitely just scratched the surface. Ads. It's a big place full of all kinds of natural beauty.
Well, this is the second largest country as far as landmass goes.
Yeah, geographically.
But most of it, is just completely untamed.
Exactly. Like, we're all kind of situated along the border, more or less, along the highways. North of us, when you go a few couple hundred miles north, there's nothing.
Well, so something like more than 80% of Canada's population of, what, is it 35 million now? So 80% of that number now live within 200 kilometers of the U.S. border.
100 miles even, I think.
Yeah, something like that. It's so everybody lives within a certain strip of land, and then above that is just frozen tundra time. But it does make for some crazy cool settings. I wonder why Star Wars hasn't shot more in Canada, and I wonder if it simply boils down to cost.
I think Canada could have been Lord of the Rings, could have been New Zealand for Lord of the Rings. If he wasn't a Kiwi, they decided to do it here, it could have been everything New Zealand was and more.
Yeah, I mean,
no offense to New Zealand, I loved it, but I think Canada had just as much to offer. I shouldn't say and more, but like, I think it has just as much to
offer. Probably just with the filming, though, with the, like, I don't think New Zealand's winters are as bad as ours.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, ads, thank you, sir. That was a lot of fun. I kind of got a little bit sad looking at some images and some cool spots where Star Wars can film here, because I've not seen nearly enough of this country. So if you bucket list it and come on over, maybe I'll sneak into your luggage and tag along.
Well, even at that, for our fans, our listeners that aren't exactly from Canada, it's like, I don't know exactly how familiar they are with our provinces and territories and all that stuff either. So I took it in broader strokes, I guess.
No, you just didn't do homework, that's all.
That's not true.
Again, Eds, thank you so much. Well, can't wait to hear from you next week, sir. Bradley's back. He's back with one of his lengthy emails. Should I spare you guys? Should I go read that?
I'm not doing it.
Man, Corey's got his lazy on tonight, doesn't he, James?
I've been drinking.
He's ready.
Well, what else is new?
Since yesterday.
What else is new? Corey's been drinking. Okay. So from Bradley at Bradley W. Hall. Hey, guys. I hope all of you have had a wonderful week and have been staying cool. Down here in the great state of Texas, it has been hot and humid. The usual for us this time of year. Actually, hasn't been too bad. Only 95 for the highs. You know it could be worse. A little Texas history for you guys. This week back in 1980, it hit 113 degrees in Big D. That's Dallas, Texas, everybody. I remember seeing eggs frying on the sidewalk on the 5 o'clock news. Like I said, it could be worse. Okay, enough small talk. It's time to get down to some Star Wars questions. I teased it on Twitter that I had a would you rather question. Actually, it's more of a what would you do question. What would you do if someone said they would pay off all your debt, cars, loans, house, etc., all of it. You would owe nothing to anyone. If you didn't have a house, you'd be given one at $150,000 value. That buys you nothing here, by the way, Bradley. and even less if
it's American.
Yeah. No, you can get some. My wife and I, you just like poke around realtor.com and just see where like amazing homes could be had for no money. $150K can get you some sweet stuff down south. But
well, $150K American in Canada can get you some pretty sweet stuff too.
Yeah, that's sweet stuff. I don't know, but it can get you can get a roof over your head for sure,
dude. When you do I'm talking about the exchange.
But okay, and we'll say this: if you go to BC or Toronto or Ottawa, forget it. Like our homes in those cities are almost seven figures almost. Especially BC. It's just crazy. Anyway, yeah. You would be given $100,000 to put into your 401k. This would be on top of whatever you've saved thus far. Basically, you're financially set for the rest of your life, assuming you didn't live above your means. Here's the catch. For all this to come to fruition, you have to give up Star Wars. All of it. No more movies, comic books, novels, TV shows, social media, and even podcasting. Yes, even podcasting. All gone like Alderaan. You'll be conscious of it, but you can't partake in any way. So guys, what would you do? My money is on that none of you will take the money. I personally wouldn't, mainly because it's been such a big part of my life. and brings me so much joy. The other reason, I'm fine with my financial situation. But that's me. What do you say? And then I'll keep going here. We'll circle back. For my second question, do you think we will see a Rodian in The Last Jedi? I hope so. I miss this species in new films. Well, I hope you enjoyed chewing on these most pressing questions about Star Wars. As promised, I'm working on leaving at Tumbling Saber a review, so that should be coming shortly. Enjoying the shows and the conversation on Twitter. Shout out to those who follow via at Tumbling Saber. Love meeting new Star Wars fans. Well, fellows, that's all I have for you this week, so stay cool, and looking forward to hearing from you guys. As always, may the Force be with you. From Bradley Hall. That's at Bradley W. Hall on Twitter. You heard him say it. He loves connecting with new Star Wars fans, so give him a follow. He's a good people.
Yeah, we like Bradley.
We love the Bradley.
James stunt double, man.
No, I can't even hold a candle to that guy's beard now. Mine's just in the regrowth stage. His is looking very epic.
Okay, let me rephrase that. James is now Bradley's stunt double.
That's correct.
I feel like there's a Spaceballs joke in there. All right, guys, we kind of talked about this first question a ways back on Sith Disturbers, some variation of this, but life circumstances can change things. So, James, and you can substitute Lord of the Rings or whatever your favorite thing is if Star Wars isn't powerful enough a motivator, but a life of financial security or your favorite thing?
Maybe financial security is my favorite thing.
Oh, God.
This whole thing just imploded on itself.
Oh, God.
First of all, I want to say I did a little research of my own, and 41.1, which is roughly 105 degrees Fahrenheit, is our hottest date on record here. So people don't often realize this, but Montreal gets hot, too hot.
Not this year? Not often enough this year?
Not yet, yeah. Anyhow. It's coming in the next couple of weeks. It's always the same thing every year.
Yeah, it's not Texas hot here, but we do get our fair share of muggy days. That's the research I did. And what are we going with, Rodian first, or which question we want to answer first?
Oh, we'll answer the what would you give up thing.
I don't want to.
Well, based on Corey's, based on Corey's performance tonight, I don't think he will either.
I couldn't give it up. The having a family makes the choice really tough. This would be an easy choice if I didn't have kids. But if I really think about it and put myself in the situation, it's a really tough choice because my favorite thing, my passions, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, etc., versus, you know, financial security is wow, that's like, am I a good dad or am I like a good person to myself? So I'm going to say I think I would be a lesser person. And even though maybe they'd be financially stable, I don't think I could be as good a father without my passions. So I'm going to hold on to those and just keep plugging along the 9-to-5. Maybe I'll win the lottery anyways and have the best of both worlds. But I don't think I could give up the stuff that I love.
I'll chime in a second. But in short, I agree with that. Corey, what do you think?
Just kind of reiterating from James, like, you know, no matter what life throws at you, no matter what happens to you, like, you always have to pick yourself up off your feet and brush yourself off and continue on. So, like, when it comes to something like this, like, yes, it would be nice. Of course, it would be nice to have no financial worries. But what's the point of living if you can't enjoy the things that you love? This is something that, okay, yes, I have this security. My family's safe. Like, I get what James is saying in the sense that you kind of almost feel like you're being selfish for something because, you know, you can secure this fate for your family or you can do the things you love. But again, if you take the money or whatever, then you're giving up a part of yourself. You're always going to regret it and you're always, always, always going to wonder. And there's no amount of money that's kind of worth that. So, yeah, man, Star Wars all the way, baby.
Yeah, I mean, Bradley, I know Bradley last week said, geez, I got to throw you guys a question that where we disagree, but I'm going to complete the sweep. And I say this saying that we talk a brave game, but if someone opened a briefcase full of cash for us, I'm not saying that we would change our minds, but I think everybody says a lot of things until there's a big briefcase of cash in front of them.
And don't let my wife see it.
As in she'll make the choice for you?
Or make my life a living hell, one or the other.
Ask him about his vintage clothing collection, Kyle.
And his vintage moth collection, too? Well, yeah, James, you kind of said it. Like, it'd be easy if you were like unattached, no family to deal with. Yeah, you do whatever the hell you want. But if you give it all up, you give up your favorite thing, you lose a piece of yourself, and you're probably a lesser husband and father, and you're probably miserable, right? You kind of walk around with this kind of resentment for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you'd be a Muppet of a man.
I mean, would we find other things to replace it with? I think we probably would, but there would always be that empty hole that just couldn't get scratched.
Yep.
I don't know. It's easy to say now. Yeah, no, I would never give up Star Wars. Forget it. I couldn't possibly do it. But boy, oh boy. And you know what? Bradley, you should have told us what the penalty was. If we cheated,
you gotta pay it all back. Duplicate.
Oh man. Oh, that's a chilling penalty. But holy cow. No, I don't. I don't think I could give up Star Wars completely. So yeah, I'm gonna agree with you guys that keep your money. I'm gonna keep the galaxy far, far away. I need my passions to be me, and that's the way it is.
I don't think that's the same thing I answered last time we did this.
I don't know. I remember talking about it, but I don't know what we said. Be interesting to go back.
I feel like I'm in the kind of mood where I'm just loving my family less tonight, so.
I know. I was all Star Wars all the time, so.
Yeah, no, that's no surprise there, buddy. Chop rules with a Z.
Jim?
Hey, start. Look, you're Canadian. How much do you weigh?
I don't know. I don't weigh myself too often, to be honest. Probably like 170.
How tall are you? 170 pounds? How tall?
Yeah. Probably like 5'9", 5'10".
Feet? Jeez. Just move to the States already.
Seriously?
I'm 70 kilos, 170 centimeters. I don't know about you.
Are you a hobbit?
Wouldn't that be 90 kilos?
Pipe down.
No.
All right. Second question from Bradley is, will we see a Rodian in The Last Jedi, Corey?
Bradley, I would put money on the fact that we will not see a Rodian in this movie. Like, from what we understand, they're really introducing all these new aliens. And I think it was brought up not too long ago, where people were kind of harping on it for the TFA in the sense that, you know, the galaxy is such a big place, this and that. But I'm kind of in that vein as well. I don't want to see all the old same aliens, but every now and again, you can throw us one of the guys that we've seen before in the past. There's nothing wrong with that, as opposed to creating all these hundreds of thousands of different species. Like, I like that too, but...
But humans everywhere are okay?
No, it's always humans all the time, eh?
I don't get it. How come there can't be Rodians everywhere, but there can be humans everywhere?
Well, I'm just putting on my money. I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. I just think in the films that it's not happening. We're not going to see a Rodian. I'd put money on it.
Well, finally, we get to disagree on one of Bradley's questions. There I think we'll absolutely see a Rodian in this movie. I'd be so willing to bet calamari on this.
Ooh, really?
Ooh.
I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure. I actually have no real idea, but for some reason, I just feel like put my feet in.
Okay, that's a bet I'm willing to take right now, James O.
Digging them in and saying, we're going to see.
James, he's been drinking. He's not thinking clearly. This could be a good time.
Did you see one in The Force Awakens?
No, we didn't.
No.
So I'm willing to accept the terms of the bet. I'll just say, just for fun, this way Bradley gets to have inspired this bet too. So it's perfect.
Let's do it.
So we got Akbar round two.
Yeah. It's time awesome. I'm going to get Greedo.
Two portions of Akbar would be pretty Greedo.
I don't think we will. I'm not taking part in this bet, although I will eat the calamari. I for whatever reason, they seem to be hell-bent on introducing new characters. And I don't really have a problem with that. But also, I think The Last Jedi specifically is going to be, you know, a lot of it will be on Canto Bite. I don't think Act 2 is going to give us much in the way of anything at all. It looks like it'll be all human and one Wookiee. Unless they sneak one into the casino or whatnot on Canto Bite, I don't think we'll see a Rodian.
Yeah, so some background scene, some cityscape. Eh.
Yeah, I'll give it all to you, James. Even just like a slight passerby cameo.
Oh, damn straight you'll give it all to me. If there's one in the movie, it counts.
Oh, for sure. I'm down.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. I don't know. I don't know why I'm so strongly against it. I just feel that from what they've said, that like there's some kind of conversation I'm thinking of right now where Rian Johnson was kind of just almost like apologizing, like saying like sorry, like the galaxy's a big place.
Yeah, but first of all, you're assuming Rian Johnson will still have his job in a week.
Oh no!
Second of all, I actually don't feel strongly about this at all. But it is a fun bet.
It is a fun bet, and exactly. Yep. I don't feel strongly about it either. Who cares?
I think it'll be fun. I agree with Bradley. I'd like to see. I don't know. Even just in the background, I like the shout outs. I like the fan service, I guess.
Yeah, it would be nice if they threw in a couple familiar looking faces. Like, what the hell? What? Did they have a conversation about that? Like, let's not put familiar aliens in. Let's make a concerted effort to make new creatures just to illustrate how big the galaxy is. I don't know if that. Does that help? I don't know. It just seems like if they'd put all the same creatures in from the OT, I don't think we would have said. Oh, who knows? Maybe we would have. But for me, anyway, I wouldn't have thought the galaxy any smaller or bigger. Like it's all just background stuff anyway.
Yeah, I don't feel like the galaxy's any bigger now that they've done that.
If the galaxy feels bigger to me, it's because, you know, I've read all this extra stuff in the comics and novels.
And Luke's missing.
Yeah, and we saw this giant map where Luke is supposed to be hiding somewhere in that big Where's Waldo mess. All right, Bradley, thank you, sir. Excellent questions again this week. And we move on. We'll end the show with our good friend who's been listening for a long time. He's sneaky, that guy, this Jeffrey.
I'm stoked he finally sent a question in. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, but we always appreciate hearing from Jeffrey, and he does talk to us a lot on Twitter. So high five to you, Jeffrey. So Jeffrey's got a question this week, and it goes a little like this. If you had a podcast based inside the world of Star Wars, in other words, if you were podcasting on the HoloNet, what would your podcast be called? What would it be about? Who would be your co-hosts? And who would you want as your first guest? Now, I'm hoping, knocking on wood, I'm crossing all my fingers. Oh, God, that we don't have any overlap here. I hope to see some unique takes here. So, James.
Oh, there's no way you guys are going to overlap with me. Like, I would
round table on this?
Oh, yeah, we'll round table this as well. James is going to kick us off.
So, yeah, when we were talking about this, and we always go back and forth over DMs and stuff, we do, Kyle and Corey and I. And Corey sort of got to the show notes a little bit late, and Kyle was busting his chops a little bit, saying, you know, there's a couple of really tough questions. Ads edition is tough this week. Bradley's got a couple of good ones, and particularly Jeffrey's question is really tough. And I thought, oh man, what is he talking about? This is super easy. I read the question once and like wrote down my answer and hadn't thought about it since. And so I started thinking about it more, and I could not come up with another answer. Like, I just, it is really tough. And if I hadn't come up with one thing to say, I would have nothing to say. So I would do like a Star Wars odd jobs type podcast. Like, you know how Mike Rowe had that show on
Dirty Jobs?
Yeah, Dirty Jobs. Where he sort of explored like Earth's, or maybe even more specifically like the US's sort of crappy jobs. I think a Star Wars version of that doesn't have to be the crappiest jobs, but maybe like nerf herding. And that's who my first guest would be nerf herders. And I don't know if like Han Solo would be my guest yet. Maybe after I see the Han Solo movie, Han Solo would be my first guest as a nerf herder. That's what I'm hoping.
That'd be amazing. Imagine how annoyed and grumpy he'd be.
Well, actually, in Star Wars episode, comic edition number 17, Luke and Han are on a planet, and Han gambles away all their money. And so they have to smuggle some nerfs to get out of the jam that they're in. I did a little homework on that one. So he has some experience with nerfs, at least, which apparently look like yaks but smell like cows.
And taste like chickens.
Is this, I don't remember, is this from the new comics or the old ones?
I just said Star Wars comic number 17.
God, I don't remember that at all. That's pretty funny. What, did you have a title?
We'd call it, no title. I was trying to come up with something. I was trying to throw gonk in the title. Gonky jobs.
Wonky gonk jobs?
Yeah.
All right, Corey, what have you got?
Because I didn't do my homework. No. I got a few of them, so I want to get them all off my chest. The first one is a joke. How do you guys think about this? It's about racing. Pod racing in particular. Now, we call it, now this is podcasting.
Oh.
It's a joke. Okay? There's already obviously a podcast named that, but
James, can you press the eject button?
Yeah, done.
Wait, whatever. Kitster was my host. Come on. Me and Kitster were interviewing
Han Solo. Yeah, that's strong. That's strong. I'll give you points for bringing Kitster into the fold. That counts. Yeah.
And we're interviewing Han Solo.
Hey, me too.
This I thought that, you know, I was trying to think what's out there in the Star Wars universe that the people seem to be big on, and racing seems to be a big part of the culture of the GFFA. So I said, yeah, I want to throw that one out there.
That's pretty good. I'll give you some points for that. My first one is a podcast for those who are looking for a relaxing getaway in the galaxy for when the Civil War is just too much to handle. You need a vacation, so you're going to tune into the Escape Pod. And it's hosted by myself and from the Aftermath series, Singer Wrath Velis. Who's got a better sense of humor? Who's snappier? Nobody. Our first guest, the Baron Administrator of Cloud City, Lando Calrissian.
Nice.
I like it.
I just want to say I'm not stealing. I'm taking the credit where it's due. Escape Podcast was one of my suggestions for names for Sith Disturbers.
Yep.
That is true.
It's even in one of your introductions too. Another Escape Podcast.
That is a great podcast name. I can't believe it must be out there by now. I remember we looked at one point a year ago and it wasn't yet, but that's got to be out there by now.
I think there's a collecting podcast.
It has to be. Kyle, I like it. And Lando is a first guest. I mean, with that radio voice.
Mesmerizing.
He's good looking even on your podcast, you know?
Mesmerizing. The stories.
Good call.
Corey, you got another one?
Yeah, I got a few more, man. I'll give you another kind of joke-ish one and then the two that I'm actually really interested in. But I'm going to call this one the Bridger Transmissions.
Nice.
My co-host is going to be Ryder Azadi. Not only because it's Clancy Brown, like his voice is just so strong. Like it would, it's just so cool. But you know, the fact that he's so closely tied to the Bridgers, you know, we'd kind of be probably speaking out about against the Empire, and our first guest would be Hondo Onaka. Guest, he would just tell us some crazy story. You know, we'd ask him all kinds of questions, and he would just, it would be a crazy episode.
Yeah, that would be. And I think Hondo is going to make a couple appearances here.
Hondo, I tried to get him on my list too.
Always on my list. He's on my list. James, did you have any others?
I got some like, no, I'm going to say no, but I've got some ideas that I'll kick around with you guys after you're done launching yours. But I thought of one that might be interesting would be like a Junkers podcast. Like Ray's a Junker, right? And I imagine there's a lot of Junkers out there. What we've seen in the Star Wars world. So I was thinking like something to do with a junking podcast, but that's all I've got written down here is Junkers and Ray.
Well, then let me pick you up there, James. How about you would tune into Salvage Salvation Radio, where you destigmatize dumpster diving and scavenging in the galaxy?
That's amazing.
How about that?
Yeah, that is good. I like that.
The co-hosts are the Freemakers and our first guest. Well, come on, we're gonna have some Jawas on. Who doesn't want to listen to a Jawa for a couple hours?
Great minds, like buddy. Great minds.
No. We're definitely gonna have Ray on quite often.
Ray would be your returning number one guest, and that would make me one of the co-hosts then.
Yeah, we can bump out the Freemakers, I suppose. We can, or add a fourth chair to the room. That's no problem.
No, three chairs is fine.
But no, that's pretty amazing. We were on the same page there. Yeah, I believe we both had a scavenging podcast.
I like that a lot, actually.
Corey, what else you got?
All right, my last two are somewhat similar to one another. The first one, I'm going to go... It's going to be discussions based around the origins and philosophies of the Force and the Jedi. Oh, come on. I that's what interests me. That's what I want to know. So, Laura Santeca is my co-host. And we have the occasional co-host of Force Ghost Qui-Gon.
You have a Force Ghost an occasional guest on your podcast? That's amazing.
Yeah, he's the Force Ghost co-host. So Qui-Gon pops in every now and again. And the first person we're interviewing is Yoda.
I think you'd have to call him your co-ghost.
Yeah, co-ghost host.
Man, that's awesome. I'd listen to that podcast because not because of your content, just because you got ghosts on it.
No, I'm very, very interested in the origins of the Jedi and stuff. So that's where I started taking the eat it. Whatever. That's what interests me. Like I've always loved archaeology and stuff. Like, so I thought that would be cool, and I would name it either Act to the Future, or Forcing It.
Ooh, I like Act to the Future. The problem with being an archaeologist is you've always got a bone to pick with someone.
Well, that leads me into my next one, actually. Like, I was thinking about it even deeper. And another thing that kind of interests me in the GFFA is that the galaxy itself is so old, so developed. Like, I'm curious if they'll ever touch upon as, like, who the first civilizations kind of to travel into space were and all that stuff. So it would be a podcast based around, like, archaeology and stuff like that. Like, where were the origins? Who was the first intelligent life to kind of like start growing the galaxy or expanding the knowledge within the galaxy to let things grow? My co-host would be Dr. Aphra, and our first guest would be Thrawn.
Jeez.
The guests are making your shows, definitely.
How
the archaeology, again, the problem with being an archaeologist is your career's in ruins.
That is true. How did you get Thrawn as a guest?
How did we book him?
Yeah.
Or... Oh, dude. I'm Chop Rules with a Z, bitch.
Zed.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay, now.
I mean, George Lucas couldn't even get Thrawn.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right. So I've got a podcast about Tales of the Underbelly of the Galaxy, called the Broken Horn Cast. My co-host in this one is Hondo, and we don't need a guest, because Hondo knows all the underbelly of the galaxy. And I wouldn't want to hear anybody other than Hondo talk about that kind of stuff. So that is the show. I just wind up Hondo and let him go for a couple hours.
I like it. That's it. That's what I was thinking too, with the character, is just that you can kind of exactly just wind him up and he's just going to spin this awesome yarn where you're just going to be like, that was awesome.
Let me ask you, Corey, is that Hondo with an H
or a Z?
H? How do you say it?
And it's Hondo with an H.
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 Okay.
Gotcha, bro.
All right, I've got my last one. It's not really really well fleshed out, but I'm going to give high fives to whoever out there understands it. So, and who can then decide? I'll describe it a little bit. So, the title is Florum de Cagna with Hondo and Akka, and it's discussing the fine spirits of the galaxy, not four spirits, distilled spirits, booze.
Ooh, nice.
I like that. I feel like Lando seems like he'd be a good first guest on that show.
You could slide right in there, that's for sure.
Lovely bouquet.
Yeah, but Florum de Cagna. I want to see if anybody can pick up on that one and tell me where the name for that comes from. What inspired me with that one? That's all I've got.
I got nothing.
We know that. Oh. Oh, I kid. All right, so that's it. We have reached the end of the line here, guys. Anything else you want to kick around before we say goodnight? I'll take that as a no. Corey needs it. Corey needs to go do a dodo. He's had a little too much to drink tonight, I think.
No, I'm good for that. I'm just tired, man. It's been a long weekend.
That it has.
Yeah, I took it easy till that's it. Sunday night kind of killed me, man. That's. Whatever. I had the day off today, but still, you know, I chilled out with my son and whatever, but it ain't easy celebrating 150.
No, your bones must be aching.
Okay, everybody, that's it. Thank you so much for listening to episode 82 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. Hope you enjoyed it and got something out of it. If you did, head over to iTunes and please leave us a review, just like Bradley, just like Ads has done. Head over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, and we'll read it on the show. We'll butcher that. We'll be eternally grateful for you. And otherwise, I'm contractually obliged to tell you about the Star Wars Commonwealth, and to remember to check out our friends at all the various podcasts, including the new member San Diego Sabres Radio Podcast, another quality addition to the network. And until we're back with Sith Disturbers later this week. Corey, where can people find you on social media? And hold your feet to the fire for some ridiculous things you've said.
You can all find me at Chop Rules with a Z, and I look forward to hearing from you.
And James, where can people find you?
This week, people can find me on the golf course because it's National Bring Your Kids to the Golf Course Week. And also on Twitter at TommyBombadil1.
Excellent. Find me at Tumbling Saber on the Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Love to connect with you and talk some Star Wars. And, like I said, we'll catch you later this week on the next edition of Sith Disturbers. So we hope you're having a good week, and we'll talk later. Bye for now. Was I blind to see?
I'll say this about you, Corey. You are a terrific sport.